This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm Mike Wilson, the awesome Leafs fan, subbing in for the boys this AM. No, they aren't crying over the Maple Leafs' heart-wrenching Game 7 loss last night. That would be me, by the way. No, Wally's dealing with a family wedding, and Naz just a little under the weather this morning, so hope you get better, and hope both you get better for different reasons, but the sort of the same result. However, joining me this AM from Niagara Falls, my regular co-host of the Squid Nuts of a Leaf Fan podcast and our weekly Leaf Talk show on Facebook Live, legendary former Maple Leaf, Rick Vive. Squid, how are we keeping this AM?
Well, I wish I could say I was better, but I mean, you know, it was kind of tough. I mean, didn't sleep very well, but you know, I mean, what are you going to say? The Leafs outshot Tampa. They're 61% to 39 in the faceoffs, and I mean, they put up a good fight. And unfortunately, Tampa are playoff kind of type of team, and they played great defense. I don't know how many blocks they had. I think they had 26 blocks.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's incredible. And but, I mean, that's why they're two-time defending Stanley Cup champs.
Well, I should also mention also we're going to be joined by a longtime journalist of the Toronto Sun and aware of Leafs' heartache the last 40 years he's covered them, Lance Hornby. Listen, I thought they played great right from the opening faceoff, but if anything, they seemed a little hesitant with the puck, which is understandable, and played at times like the away team. That's not a criticism because it's so hard in a game like this of this magnitude. You don't want to make an early mistake like Toronto's been prone to do in this series. Having said that, however, you need to take the play to Tampa, not the other way around. And I thought they sat back a little too much waiting for Tampa to do something or make a mistake.
Well, I think at times, Mike, I think that was probably the case. But I think a good portion of the game, I thought they did take it to them. And like I said, they had lots of shots, but they had a lot blocked. And you got to get those through to the net. And if you don't, you're not going to get those scoring chances around the net. And that's exactly what happened. And Tampa did get a lot of shots through the net and got a lot of rebounds. And, Campbell had to come up big a number of times in front of the net.
Yeah, I mean, he did. And, you know, that's a tribute to him. And it's really tough to sit. And obviously last night I turned the game off as soon as it was over. And the thoughts are running through your mind about how you're going to approach this and how you analyze and break this down. It's very tough when the team played as well they did. I mean, this isn't like losing to Montreal or Columbus the last 2 years. This is against a real good hockey club. And this is, I mean, defending Stanley Cup champions, as you're pointing out, back-to-back. They played great, but you just need to get it. You know, I guess the one thing I could say is, if anything, the emotion and urgency they played with Thursday in Game 6 was just off slightly last night. And again, you as a former player know how hard it is to crank it up after playing so hard and losing as they did in Game 6.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is tough. I mean, it's a tough loss. They played well enough to win that game for sure, Game 6, and move on to the second round, and it didn't happen. And, you know, Game 7's, I don't care what billing it's in. I mean, anybody can win a Game 7. It's one game to move on, and unfortunately, you know, Toronto just didn't get the job done, and it stings, man. It's like, I know people are saying, well, it wasn't as bad as last year. Yeah, it's just as bad. I mean, you know, with the year that they had, and you look at the the season that they had, you know, you would definitely think they were going to be moving on past the first round, and it didn't happen.
Well, we discussed at the beginning of the playoffs, you and I, in a couple of different shows, that all things being equal, meaning Campbell plays as he should, the Stars the same, the play of Mikhaev, Engvall, and Kemp would determine the fate of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They were dominant in a few games and played well last night, but didn't raise their game to the level that made a difference. Like Nick Paul having his Pat Borders moment. Now, for you younger listeners out there, Google search the Blue Jays 1992 World Series MVP for that one. But, you know, it wasn't Kucherov or Stamkos that beat that. And as a matter of fact, they, and this is what also stings, is they outside of power play time throughout the series were very ordinary.
Yeah, I mean, they were. And you know, we talk about this so much that in the playoffs, and especially when you get to a game seven, there's always an unlikely hero, so to speak. And last night was exactly that. You know, Nick Paul, who came over from Ottawa at the deadline, and he gets two goals, his first two playoff goals ever. And, you know, that's how the playoffs go. There's always an unlikely hero, and of course, last night there definitely was.
And by the way, I think he had like a half a dozen shots on goal, and he could have scored a third one if Campbell made an outstanding save on in the third period. So, I mean, it was just one of those nights. How can you stop it? I mean, it's difficult to criticize the play of the team. They played their hearts out. And if you look back, the Phantom High Stick with the game in complete control in Game 6, or the hard luck interference call last night and Justin Hall negating the Tavares goal, were possible differences between going home and advancing. And it's a cliche, but it really is a fine line between victory and defeat. And they are so close.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, people say it's a game of inches. This series was a game of centimeters. It was that close. And, you're right. I mean, unfortunately, the call was made in Game 6, the first high stick. The second one was definitely a penalty. There's no question. But the first one wasn't. But you know what? I mean, the referees are human. They can't see everything. And when, you know, a player goes back like that and sells it, it's very difficult for them not to call it. And unfortunately, that one was a bad call. The next one wasn't, but it was a 5-on-3, and that was the difference.
Well, and it's funny, and why does it always seem to happen to Toronto Maple Leafs? But I was watching the games the following night on the Friday, and the couple of high-sticking calls that were being made or in the process of being called, they went over to the box and took a look at the first before they made the call as a result of what happened the night before. Because if the first call isn't made against Toronto in Game 6, the second call doesn't happen because they're not killing the penalty, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, you look at last night in the Edmonton game, there was a high stick. They called a 4-minute penalty because the Edmonton player was bleeding. But they went to the box and they conferred with Toronto, looked at the replay and realized that it was his own player that hit a stick that hit him. And there was no call. And maybe perhaps that's what they should have done the game before Game 6 in Tampa. But you know what? It's tough. And because this team had such a great season. Matthews and Marner had unbelievable seasons. And you know, Matthews is up for several awards and won the Rocket Richard. Unfortunately, it was just one of those things that, you know what? The biggest difference was Tampa, they defend very, very well, and they're built to defend. And I think that was the difference in the game is that, you know, they defended better than Toronto did last night and probably throughout the whole series, really.
Well, if you look at the save Vasilevskiy made on Matthews in the third period with just the one time, it's one real good shot that he got off. 9 times out of 10 is in the back of the net. They turn it over and come down and Paul scores. So that's the reality of sports. And speaking of the reality of sports, the brutal reality of sports, it's about to lift its ugly head, and it's something that's been discussed, obviously, over the next few months. And as well as they played, this is Toronto referring to, obviously, tremendous winning season. They didn't advance once again, so changes will be coming. But we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and discuss that a little further.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we realised that our extra large pizza is 2 whole inches longer than the so-called extra large from the big pizza conglomerates. How do they even call theirs extra large when Pizzaville gives you 18 whopping inches, steaming hot? Because, let's be honest, who wouldn't want 2 more inches?
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery, now open at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
To become a champion in business, it takes coaching, training, and bench strength. And every team needs a skilled player like KPMG Enterprise for private companies. KPMG Enterprise helps entrepreneurs and family businesses grow, strengthen, and transition by offering a full suite of services, including audit, accounting, tax, and advisory. Your business doesn't stand still. It evolves. Team up with a winner. Visit kpmg.ca/enterprise. Let's do this.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Well, welcome back. I'm Mike Wilson, Elton Leafs fan. Joining me this morning is a legendary Maple Leaf, Rick Five. We're filling in for Wally and Naz this morning. Before the break, we were discussing the game last night, but also now the harsh reality of change will be coming, because it is all about winning, as we all know. And I mean, as crazy as that sounds, that's how it does work in the world of sports and everything we do in everyday life. So, but let's talk about the positives first. Like, if anything, one of the things we want to talk about here, Squid, is the next step in growth, and he made big strides doing this, we're referring to Austin Matthews, is learning a little more to separate himself from the pack in the playoffs. He was great in this series, but using as an example, and this is a pretty tough bar to set, but Sidney Crosby, as an example, led a Pittsburgh team similar to the Toronto Maple Leafs to 2 cups recently. That's the next step that Matthews should be looking to attain himself to, and he's there. And I think that's a really big positive the Leaf fans can take away from this. And also, Mitch Marner adjusted in that regard as well. So those are very encouraging signs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what Austin Matthews accomplished this year, and along with Marner, obviously, you don't do it alone. And then in the playoffs, like, we saw them play a completely different game than we've seen in the past. Excuse me, with a lot more physicality and stripping guys of pucks and stuff like that. I mean, there's going to be changes, obviously. That comes without saying. I mean, you know, you got 9 UFAs or RFAs, very little wiggle room cap-wise. I mean, I would think that I don't think management should be changed at all. I think they did a heck of a job this year. I think the changes are going to have to come on the ice with some of the players. They're going to have to do some finagling this summer and you know, build a team that can win again.
Well, let's start off with that right off the bat. Jack Campbell, Ilya Mikheyev, Jason Spezza, Mark Giordano, Ilya Labushkin are unrestricted free agents. Campbell's obviously the priority here. I wouldn't go far in that regard as ignoring Mikheyev is a priority, but at what cost? So he is free agent. If you take a look at the free agent list that's out there, you've got Marc-Andre Fleury at $7 million, but he's not the guy. Mikko Koskinen out of Edmonton, we've seen how that has worked out so far at $4.5 million bucks isn't an option. Darcy Kemper in Colorado at $4.5 million. you know, is he better or is he just the benefactor of a really strong, strong team? Corpusello in Columbus, we saw him still in the Maple Leafs a couple of years ago. And the list continues. And if you go through the list, there's no real upgrade over Campbell. So it is a very tough decision. If anything, he's probably a notch ahead of a few of these guys with the experience he brings from what he's just gone through with the Maple Leafs. And at $1.6 million, he is definitely a bargain. He's due for a raise. So I throw that one at him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the case. Like, you know, a lot of these guys are due for raises. And, I mean, it can't happen because you're going to have to move out some money on the cap in order to re-sign them or bring other guys in or whatever the case might be. But I'm sure they'll figure it out. I mean, and like I said, I don't believe that the management or any of the coaching staff should be fired. Right? I know that's all people are saying on, you know, social media and everything else is fire everybody. Well, I don't think that's the route to go. I think, you know, finding a way to keep some of the players you want to keep and moving some of the players or letting them go that you feel you don't need, and somehow form a better defensive team that's under the cap, because you got the firepower already and Matthews and Marner, and you know, so it's going to be very, very difficult for them going into the off season. But I feel very confident that these guys can get the job done and put together another great team that you know has the possibility of winning a cup.
Well, see, of course, this is all dependent on how the boardroom guys above Brendan Shanahan view what's happened. I have to imagine last night's game was one of the most viewed in recent history for eyeballs, and that's the business these guys are in. So obviously, they'd like a few more of these. But these elite assets they own, they definitely want to capitalize on that while they can. So that'll be item number one on the checklist before any other decisions are made. And I agree with you. There's like Shanahan, Dubas, Keefe should be going nowhere. They've earned the right to continue this along. The tough decisions they're going to make is how do you keep some of these players? And the one lightning rod guy that we've talked about endlessly on our shows, and there's no way around it, is William Nylander. He's got to be considered movable because you're going to have to make room at some point. They have none. Yes, he scores, folks, but he was invisible most of the playoffs, is a liability without the puck, either because he's lazy in that regard, he just won't apply himself. And that's the hard reality of, and I don't mean to be so critical of him, but that's got to be addressed. And Keith did a great job of hiding him or putting him in a position not to fail. But let's face it, you shouldn't have to do that with an 80-point player. You do that with a Jason Spezza who is trying to squeeze the last bit of compete he has in him. Look, Nylander's a talented kid who can score, but you need more than that from a top six in the playoffs. I mean, look at Matthews, Udin's Bonnie, or Marner, the way they played and threw themselves out there. So my question to you, Squid, would you rather have him or Mikhaev?
That's a tough one. I mean, Nylander's a talent, but with the season he had, I don't think he's fit or the type of player that Matthews or Marner are. And they went all out in the playoffs and used their bodies and played physical. He didn't, but he had a heck of a year. So maybe he's a guy that you could get a lot for. And then obviously moving out $7 million would help as well. I mean, you don't want to give up a good player. There's no question. But at the same time, you got to look at the whole scheme of things and say, well, you know, we got to move some money out. We have no other choice. And, you know, how do we do that? Well, you might want to, you know, look at that and say, well, he had a heck of a year. A lot of teams would love to have him. And, you know, we could get rid of that $7 million. Because, you know, quite frankly, I mean, yes, he had a decent series against Tampa, but at the end of the day, he didn't play physical like Marner and Matthews and some of the other guys. And I think that maybe, you know, is the difference between regular season and playoffs with that individual player.
Well, if you just look at how the coach used him, that's a pretty good sign right there, as I said before. And the other casualty could be somebody like along the lines of Alex Kirkwood. He's a favorite of ours, which we talk about a lot, but he's under contract for one more year at 3.5. He'll bring something in return, and I don't think you want to go into last year of his ticket with no extension and let him just walk. So, by the way, until the last few games of the season, by the way, folks, he had more 5-on-5 points than been playing 3 minutes less a game than Nylander. So this isn't the bash Nylander all about, but you know, those 80 points will definitely bring a nice reward back. And I, for 1 minute, I'm not saying to give this guy away. You can get a lot for him. But you have no other choice, because who else are you going to move? You've got to move a player and make room, because they definitely have. And by the way, with all the guys they're losing under defense, don't forget they're losing 3 or 4 defensemen. And then those are the unrestricted free agents we talk about. Let's look at the restricted free agent. You got to deal with Andre Cache, who played hurt a lot. Pierre Engvall, who you don't want to really lose. Rasmus Sandin, you've spent a lot of time with him watching his growth. You can't let him just, you know, leave, but he is a restricted free agent. Lilligren, the same thing. And Christian Rubens, another one. So they got to find money, and they got to find money somewhere fast.
Well, I think that's the key, Mike, as you said. I mean, they got to find room on their cap, which they have none right now. I mean, the cap's only going to go up to $1 million next season, and you've got to find a way to manipulate the things and move out the right pieces to get that money on the cap in order to either, you know, sign a free agent or get some guys back in a trade that are less money and that sort of thing. It's something, it's reality. I mean, it's unfortunate because you're giving, you know, you might end up moving one or two pretty good hockey players. But something needs to be done because they need that cap room in order to sign some guys that they want to keep. And I think it's imperative that they look at that, especially right around draft time where, you know, people are looking to move up or down in the draft. And, you know, I think it's a situation where they could really benefit from that.
Well, you know, one of the $64,000 question I think that's going to be on everybody's mind is, what do you do with Jason Spezza and Mark Giordano?
Well, you know, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough situation because you got Giordano at the deadline for the reason to get by that first round, and it didn't happen. You know, Jason played extremely well for this team. He's been a good leader for these young kids, you know, but I think maybe it's time to move on from some of these guys that are, you know, mid to late 30s. And, you know, it's a young man's game. It's you know, it's no longer guys playing until they're 40 years old and really having great years and that sort of thing. So I think maybe it's time to move on from some of these older guys and you know, bring in some young blood that, you know, are going to go out and do those things in the playoffs that you need to win.
Well, they seem to be stocking the shelves and at the minor league level and within the confines of the Maple Leafs, a lot of young talent, a lot of young players. They're going to have to let these kids play at some point. And to your point, you've got to insert them in the lineup at any given time, particularly the way that this club is growing. Giordano, he made a lot of money last year. He did bring a stabilizing effect to Toronto, but you know, his game isn't without weaknesses also. And you're right, he's taken up the spot of somebody else like Lilligren suffered, and he was out of the whole playoff. And Spezza, while he brings that great leadership role, and the players really do look up to him, and, you know, he's instrumental in some of the comebacks and the way he handled the team, definitely deserves to stay in the organization in some role. But what do you do? You know, because you've got to grow from within, and that's the key to any successful team. Look at Tampa. With you and I've talked about this extensively about the turnover of losing that third line of theirs last year, and how they just replaced it and they moved guys around and made it happen. And I think that's the one thing that people ignore with Kyle Dubas. He does a very good job of identifying, uncovering talent and players that look like they may not be going anywhere. And he's done a very good job at that, as we saw this year, particularly with Michael Bunting, David Kampf, and even Cache, who just, you know, unfortunately for him, he gets hurt a lot. But there's where we're headed, I think, my man. And I think that's kind of the way to have to approach this. And it's very difficult because you're so close, because let's not even talk about the fact that the clock is ticking with guys like Matthews, who you have really one more full year before it's his final year. and he had two with Tavares and Marner. So, you know, the clock is ticking. So it's a very, very difficult thing to do. So everybody's going to be watching very, very closely, obviously.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, when you look at, like, Liljegren, I thought played, you know, pretty darn good in this series, and then all of a sudden he wasn't playing. He had a good year. He got Sandin that, you know, was hurt, wasn't able to play. I mean, he's going to be a good player. But, you know, bringing in not an older defenseman, but a middle-aged, like, you know, late 20s, early 30s, that can stabilize their defense, I think is probably, I would have to say, is their number one thing that they need, I think, going into next year. And I think it's time for Matthews, Marner, those guys to take over the leadership role because, you know, that's, I mean, they're the best players. They tried extremely hard. They played extremely well in this series. I think it's time for them to take over the leadership role and bring this team to the next level.
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. Now, that's really where we have to take this, and this is what's going to make it so difficult. So, Ilya Mikheyev, somebody's going to pay for him. They may overpay. It's going to all be about term, probably. How hard do the Leafs press to keep him? And, of course, you got Engvall also, but Engvall's actually a restricted free agent.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd love to keep Mikheyev, but, you know, I'm not sure you can afford it, to be quite honest with you. I mean, right now, the way things are, unless they move out a few pieces and are able to sign him, but he's going to be looking for a nice raise because he had a good regular season and even, you know, a couple of games in the playoffs played very well. But, I mean, I don't know. I think you got to look at everything and analyze everything. But like I said, I think the biggest thing is it's time to let these young guys like Matthews and Marner and those guys take over the leadership of this hockey club and bring it to the next level.
Well, I think that's in the cards, and hopefully that, you know, the script remains the same and that the guys above in the boardroom don't get too anxious and just kind of step back and think this through. Just like the 24-hour rule when your kids are playing sports, you just go away for 24 hours before you talk to the coach. I think these guys should take 48 hours before they make any sort of comments about management. So with that all in mind,
I would agree with you on that, Mike. And I don't think that there should be any management changes. These guys did a heck of a job putting this team together. They just about got there. I mean, it was so close. I think they all should be back and give them, you know, a few days to get their exit meetings done and everything, and then move on and start thinking about what they need to do for next year.
Now, Squid, you're going to stick with us for a minute. We're going to bring Lance on, and we want to talk about something like the exit meeting. So we'll get Lance's view on how things are going, if you can hang on for a couple minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's take a short break, and we'll come back with Lance Hornby.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best. At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian, authentically Italian.
To become a champion in business, it takes coaching, training, and bench strength. And every team needs a skilled player like KPMG Enterprise for private companies. KPMG Enterprise helps entrepreneurs and family businesses grow, strengthen, and transition by offering a full suite of services, including audit, accounting, tax, and advisory. Your business doesn't stand still. It evolves. Team up with a winner. Visit kpmg.ca/enterprise. Let's do this.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the number 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery, now open at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Last minute of play in the game.
Unlike sports, the outcome of palliative care isn't determined in the dying seconds. Physically, socially, and spiritually, palliative care is giving someone the best quality of life for however long life remains, while supporting their loved ones. All services are free of charge with partial government funding. The need for palliative care is great. Making an Impact is the newly opened Hospice Vaughan Mario and Nick Cortolucci Hospice Palliative Care Center of Excellence. A truly amazing 10-bed residence, the first palliative care hub in Vaughan. If you share the belief that everyone deserves to live until they die, get involved. Volunteer your time or donate to hospicevaughan.com. We are for community, by community. And together, we are here to serve.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Mike Wilson, the Oakland Lakes fan. Joining me this morning, Rick Vibe. We're filling in for Wally and Naz. And now we're happy to bring on with us a very good friend of ours, longtime journalist following these Maple Leafs, who's gone through 40 years of some pain covering these guys, some ups and lots of downs, unfortunately. He's also an accomplished author, working with me in two books, by the way. He's a legendary ball hockey player and a thrill seeker. Like, let's welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Lance Hornby. Lance, how are you doing?
That's quite a build-up, Mike, but I'm sure people out there need some distraction after last night. That was something. Thank you for having me on the show. And when you mentioned that, a lot of pain. That's certainly something I witnessed at playoff time over the years. I thankfully both you and I remember the good times in '93 and '02, and a lot of other things. We were both around when the Leafs were still winning cups in the '60s. But you got to feel for today's generation. That's for sure.
Well, so what's your overall observation of this series?
Well, you know what? It was there for the taking. I mean, it was a full, the full seven games ran the gamut. I mean, in the first couple of games, you had the Leafs trying to, muscle their way through to Tampa Bay. You had Sheldon Keefe saying it was going to be borderline violence, and the Leafs really initiated that. And when they settled down and started playing their game, that's when they had the chance to move ahead. And very few people can remember Andrei Vasilevskiy looking that vulnerable as he was midway through the series, that they kept Kucherov and Stamkos off the board, and they won at home, and they had they won in Tampa Bay. And it's just when you get to the full bill last night, that they lose game 7, a one goal game at home, it's just so frustrating that it was there a couple of times. And yes, there were some iffy calls by the officials, but I think Tampa Bay had Tampa Bay could say the same thing a couple of times. It was still there for the taking. It was a chance for a character builder for the Leafs, and they didn't when at key moments in the series where they could have shut it down, they did not. And and last night, the Lightning, the Stanley Cup champion, two timers. The Lightning, that is, showed up in the last 10 minutes, shut everything down, and here we are looking to 2022-2023 for the next chance for this team.
Squid?
Well, it's, I think definitely Lance is right. I mean, it's, at times they got to Vasilevskiy, and then, of course, then they get to Game 7, and he shuts the door, which was, he played incredible, but so did Campbell. And, it's kind of disheartening, but at the same time, you got to be, you got to take the positives out of it, I think, and like I said, find a way to build this team a little bit better under the cap, which is not going to be easy, but I think it can be done, and with the right moves, there's no question this team could be even better next year.
Now, well, go ahead, Lance. I was going to say, you're absolutely right, Rick. I guess the next thing is how they keep it together. Should they keep it together? I mean, people like myself were for, you know, keeping the core together. I didn't think they should get rid of them when there was, you know, ample evidence that past playoffs, you know, you think back a couple of years to Nylander. At certain times, Nylander, at certain times it was, you know, Marner not scoring last year. It was, you know, Matthews, it was the goaltending. But they again, another frustrating part about that, Rick, is that they put all that together this year and still came up short. So I guess, you know, moving on, looking to next year, it is, how do they you know, how do they function under the cap next year? They have to bring in, you know, if they really like Jack Campbell, they're going to have to commit some money to him, and that means likely Mikheyev's gone, which isn't a secret. They can't afford him, but, you know, they got performances from Giordano, Lyubushkin, guys who weren't really, you know, you weren't thinking about them midseason. Now you got to take a hard look and see, you know, do you want to bring those guys back? Do they want to stay here? And, you know, do they use much the same formula to try and come back next season? And of course, are the same people still going to be at the top?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think the big thing is, like, I remember at the end of last year, they made it quite clear that core four, as they called them, were not going anywhere. And I think now, after this, I think they're going to have to look at the entire situation and what they have and what they may need to move out. And it's unfortunate, but you know, one of those guys may have to be moved out in order to bring in guys that'll make the lineup a little bit stronger throughout the entire lineup and have no weak spots. And I mean, it's not going to be easy, but I think you know, the staff they have now are capable of pulling it off, and they've shown that they've been able to do that with bringing in guys like Bunting and Lyubushkin, who played, you know, extremely well. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be interesting to see if the same thing comes out of management this year, that we're keeping our core four together, because I think it's time that perhaps they say, hey, anything's possible. We, you know, we're going to have to make some moves. And I think that's probably what you're going to see, and more than likely closer to the draft, I would think.
Right. Well, I think you're going to have to look at Nylander, I guess. I mean, they're you know, he is a part of things, and when he is on his game, certainly he complements that core four and can play, you know, gives you a threat on your second and your third line. But you know, let's look again. I mean, they need depth on defense, right? I mean, you know, I've always been pulling for Justin Hall, who sort of came out of nowhere and won a Calder Cup with the Marlies, and you know, was a good rags to riches story. But you know, should he be the seventh defenseman? And if so, then you need a sixth, and then maybe you need take another look again at the backup goaltending situation. So by trading, say, a Nylander, whose contract among the core four is probably the most palatable to other teams, you can fix that area. You know, you can bring in a defenseman, and finally, maybe, you know, I know they have Peter Mrazek under contract for a couple of more years, but they can perhaps move him. Again, this is all dependent on if they're going to keep Campbell. So, you know, and if you want to improve your draft situation, because they've lost a couple of picks along the way. I think Nylander is a guy, and that's nothing against him. I just think he's got the lowest contract. People could look at him and say he's also a guy who could be our number one winger. He could fit in a lot of other places, and maybe Nylander thrives even more as the number one winger on another team. Right here, he's just kind of one star amongst the constellation, sort of thing.
Well, the other thing I think you have to keep in mind is,
agree with that. I mean, I think you got to look at that, and also the year he had. I mean, he's gonna bring back a pretty good return, I would think, with the season he had, and like you said, I mean, you know, there's times. I think with him, it's more inconsistency than anything else. You know, he's great for two or three games, and then two or three or four games, you don't even see him out there, really. And so, yeah, I think if you're going to move anybody out of that, the four that you're talking about, perhaps he's the guy, because I think he'd be the most wanted by other teams. And you're moving out you're not moving out the top salary, but you're moving out a pretty good one.
Yeah, they do have a lot of prospects coming. I mean, there's a lot of the rush. I mean, I'm not going to try and name them all and pronounce their names. This must be the last 2 years have been the most unpronounceable draft class I can think of with the Leafs. And of course, you had the very sad story with Rodion Amarov getting ill over in Germany and trying to recover. So you don't really know what's coming there. But I mean, you know, there is Nick Robertson. There's a lot of, Alex Steves. There were some good prospects with the Marlies. Unfortunately, they didn't make the playoffs either, so you're not going to get an extra look at them, which is something I love to do when the Leafs get knocked out. But, I think you'd miss Nylander, but there would be room for other kids to grow. And I think, it's a situation, I guess, guys, where, maybe the term sacrificial lamb is there. Somebody has to go to appease the people. I think they're going to, there's going to be a lot of people wondering what they're going to try differently next year. And short of changes at the top, which is, I guess, another topic altogether, you're looking for some kind of a personnel move that's going to give them a different look next autumn.
Well, we discussed that before you came on with this, Lance. And I mean, he seems to be the lightning rod player. And, going through the statistics, he's the only player in the top 50 scoring who wasn't playing in the top six or had a set spot going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, you'd see the way the coach was trying to hide him a lot and place him in positions to succeed. Well, you shouldn't have to do that with an 80-point player. So, and he is the guy. You can't move Tavares because there's no trade. You can't move Matthews. And even if you could move Matthews, is somebody going to risk taking him? I mean, this is stupid talking, but the fact that he has one year before he becomes an unrestricted free agent the year following. So, and Marner has got 2 years, but he makes so much money also. You can't trade those three. And so Nylander is the guy, even any way you want to cut it, if you want to make a move. And looking through the list of unrestricted free agent goalies, well, there's nothing really much better than Campbell out there. He's probably the best value in the whole lot. So he's probably going to get a lot of looks. So, and the other thing is, you've put all this time and effort into Mikhaev. I know he's another guy, but man, if you got the other guy we could want to talk about is Alex Kerfoot, because his contract has got 1 year to run at $3.5 million. He can bring you something back in return. He may be your sacrificial lamb because you don't want to go into last year with no contract for him.
Yeah. He's an interesting player. He had the last couple of games of the series weren't great for him, but I think they're, when you measure him against Kadri, and now it's an even more fascinating comparison, given that Kadri had such a great finish. And, Kerfoot kept his nose clean. He's been very good to move around different lines. Lots of speed. The guys like him. He's he's really ingrained himself here in Toronto. So I'd hate to lose him, but I would like to see the return as well. I don't think he wants to leave, but we'll see what happens there. There's going to be something happening. People will look for something, but again, it'll go. I think the first thing you have to assure yourself is, if you're an MLSE, is do I want Kyle Dubas back? Do I want, and by extension, do I keep Sheldon Keefe? And those are, I think those are kind of perfunctory things. I would not move them after what has happened in the middle. Don't swap horses in the middle of the river, sort of thing. It's disappointing as all these first round defeats are, but there's a lot of big names who've been let go around the league, and you never know. It all depends on who's here at the right time, and I guess Rick would know that, sadly, with Harold Ballard. It was always different when depending on what mood he was in or what person had the influence there, he was prone to making some strange decisions. And certainly we're all happy that it's a lot more stable here in Toronto right now. But you never know, and you never know what's around the corner. If suddenly, you know, if you're going to move those people up top, make sure you get, you know, a seasoned GM, or make sure you get a coach who can win, who can get 115 points like Sheldon Keefe can, because those guys don't grow on trees.
No, Lance, I couldn't agree with you more. And if I was the MLSE board, I'd be clearly looking at the entire season and how they played in the first round and say, you know, hey, our GM, our coaches did a hell of a job, and you know, I think there's no way we can move them. And I think you come back with everybody in management and just, you know, hunker down and get the job done between now and the draft, and, you know, move on the next year and get ready.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get, if you have a good year, I mean, you get, you know, another good, that's something to shoot for. I mean, next year, let's, you know, just, it's sort of the morning after and everybody's got to go in many directions. But, you know, why not come back next year, make the President's Trophy your goal next year. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in it, but, you know, look at, that's what Florida put their engine behind. And, you know, you get an even better matchup. So you don't get the Stanley Cup champions. You know, you do get a wild card team and, you know, you get a so-called easy match at the start and you go from there. So that's how I'd look at it.
Now, Lance,
yeah, one of the things, Lance, I don't know if you agree with this, but, you know, I look at their defense and Morgan Riley's a great defenseman. There's no debating that. But they really don't have a stud on defense like a Hedman or someone like that who can control the power play and can get the puck on net. He's also extremely good defensively. He's big, yep. Strong. Like, Toronto doesn't really have a guy like that, and they haven't for quite some time. And I think something like that is very, very important going forward. Now, I mean, who do they go after? I couldn't tell you right now, but I think that, you know, when you have someone like that on the blue line, then other teams have to respect that and look after it.
Well, yeah, absolutely, Rick. There's a there's a lack of a stud guy and a big shot too. I mean, they don't, you know, as much as that power play has all kinds of the flying circus kind of thing down low and moves to the puck, they don't have that big bomb from the point, and I think that would make them even more potent and make them more respected in their own zone. I mean, collectively the six are pretty good, but again, that's a getting somebody like that when you have a Hedman or a Roman Josi, you get him, you develop him, and you hang on to him. And that part has eluded the Leafs as well as they've done developing, you know, picking those top guys who become their core four. It's too bad that a defenseman wasn't involved in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, Lance.
Yeah.
Just last night after the game, if you can. Sort of just going a little bit off here, a little comparison between the players' sort of post-game comments and sort of their body language and all that kind of stuff compared to last night. Was it the only reason I bring it up is after game six, and Rick and I talked about this the other day, the look on the bench, they were actually just furious that they lost. Like, it wasn't, yes, like, you know, that look, oh no, it was like they were mad that they had lost, so it's like they'd let it slip away, whereas, you know, before you look at them as, oh well, we lost, we'll have to come back next game. Did you sense that in the post-game interviews last night?
Oh, it was, you know, it was pretty raw out there. I mean, a couple of them wore hats, you know, and had their eyes down, you know, which would indicate to me it was a pretty emotional finish. Yeah, they're pretty angry, and that's, you know, they put a lot into this. They I'm talking about a long season where they vowed to do better than they did against Montreal, and here they are finding themselves back at the same place. Yes, they played better. Yes, it's a better team. Yes, they set all kinds of records, and there's going to be a lot of trophies given out. But again, it was there for the taking. You know, I'd be angry too, but I'd be upset that I let a big chance like this slip through, and I'm going to have to, you know, in the alleged center of the hockey universe, I'm going to have to hear about this the rest of the summer. And people, you know, people credited them out last night with a good effort, and it was tough, and, you know, the bounces didn't go their way. but it's going to be, you know, starting today or tomorrow when they start their locker cleanout. There's going to be some accountability, and I think that kind of fuels their anger as well. They're going to have to explain themselves. Here we go again, and you know, it'll be a test of their mettle, and you know. One of the reasons it's great to play in Toronto, they found that out in the course of the 7-game season, and unfortunately in the off season they're going to see the opposite side again, that people want more, people want them to go beyond the first round and finally end that cup drought.
We've just got a couple minutes left here, guys, so I mean some final thoughts. Let's start with you, Squid.
Well, I see all the comments by people on social media and everything. I mean, it's not time to blow it up and get rid of everybody. You know, this is ridiculous. I mean, you got a good management team there. You've got some superstar players. As Lance said, there's going to be some trophies, and, you know, Matthews is probably going to win a couple. But unfortunately, the one that they're not going to win is the big one, and that's the Stanley Cup. So I think the biggest thing to take away from this is what do we need to do by the draft and at the draft in order to make sure that we're not in that situation again.
Lance?
Well, it's tough to watch last night, but I take the subway to every game, and I walk through the crowds and all that, and it's just great to see, a lot of people who are upset today, but I'm always amazed by the passion of Leaf fans, and even the ones who are who are out there with the torches and the pitchforks demanding change and get rid of everybody at Bay Street. You have to appreciate where they're coming from as well. It's it's something interesting to watch, and I would only think that it's still a great place to have a team, and 4 or 5 generations on now, you see really that it's still a great place to play, and some of the best hockey fans in the world.
That I concur wholeheartedly with you on that one, and we had them confirm. Yeah. My buddy actually, Glenn in Lloydminster, is sitting in his truck watching cattle right now, listening to us, and watched every game with us this whole series and all season. So it goes on from everywhere. I do hope that the cooler heads prevail. They realize what they have in front of them. Hopefully the appropriate changes we made, and we'll be right back competing again next year. Let's spoken like a true Leaf fan. So before we go, I'd just like to give one little shout-out to a couple guys who are in the hospital. My brother Peter is recovering from a leg injury on his hip. And another one going through a tough time is Nuccio Ferrari, a buddy of ours who's in the hospital and listening. Best wishes and get well soon, guys. Lance, thanks for joining us here this morning. Good luck with the exit meetings and interviews today with the players. And Squid, as always, we'll be talking next week.
All right.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.